Welcome to the Mad Trio Podcast. This week we have the California pariah Jonathan Charney, James the Fat Man Stevens, and the man whose life story is like Pink Floyd's Hello. Wish We Were Here, Ryan Preston, and special guest star...
You're listening to the Rob Charney Show.
I am here live and with you guys, so it's the Mad Quadro.
So he has... So, no, he hasn't been infected by the beer virus.
That's right. No, I have not been...
And I haven't used a monkey's paw to bring him back alive.
That's good.
So...
yeah, that's definitely good. The unintended consequences are horrible.
Yeah.
Somebody got that. So have you guys heard of Marley cigarettes? They're the world's most famous cigarettes that nobody's ever had.
Marley's?
Marley's. Hmm. So what it is...
I think I came across the story on this. It was like before you texted me the picture of it. But yeah, go ahead. I love it.
So set the Wayback Machine to somewhere there in the 1950s and... Previous incarnations of TV shows were usually sponsored or created by cigarettes. Dragnet is one of the more famous ones, for example. It was sponsored by Fatima. And so,
which became
Chesterfield.
Chesterfield.
So what ended up
Chesterfield, yeah. And everything when I was a kid was Winston.
So Marley is a fictional brand of cigarettes that appears in various television shows and films.
including the X-Files.
Yeah.
So what happened is shows that weren't sponsored by any cigarette company, they needed a fake brand. So they created Marley's. And they're styled after
Marlboro
cigarettes. Yeah. Yeah. They're actually in episodes of Twilight Zone, the William Shatner episode, for example, when he's in the plane, he's smoking Marley's. And what happened in the 80s and 90s when they started banning smoking and all sorts of forms of entertainment, Marley's came back. So they're in a ton of modern television shows. You can actually buy some on eBay. That's one of my goals. Like, I want to buy a carton of Marley's.
And
it's just a box.
Now I'm thinking, you know, I've looked and seen a lot of TV shows that have smoking these days, and I haven't really. They've recognized that they've been using Marley's at all or anything.
Most of
the smoking I see on newer TV shows don't even really show a brand.
Yeah.
Usually it's the box.
I don't know.
Usually,
no product placement for Marley.
No.
I just watched Bosch recently.
If they actually show a box of cigarettes, 9 in 10 chance it's usually a Marley cigarette if they're going to show some sort of brand. Like if you take a look at the picture here, it looks like I'm showing the old guy. You see the red stripe.
Yeah.
I mean,
and it's very few and far between though these days.
I've seen the Marley boxes a lot.
Only after when I was looking at the pictures of like the famous places that it's been, I started to recognize them. Like, oh, I think I had seen these all the time, but never noticed it at the time. Yeah.
Oh, by the way,
I always thought they were Marlboros.
For those that are listening, I want to wish you the world's worst Taco Tuesday. Not only is it Cinco de Mayo by the time we're recording this, but it's also Taco Tuesday. So everybody right now is at home drinking their Corona, most likely Coors Light, because, you know, Corona's having some issues.
Yeah, what is the story with Corona's? Is it available? I haven't looked at a beer.
The last time I heard, they were having some financial issues because nobody wanted to drink a Corona beer.
Yeah.
And it's because of the name. It's not because it's like drinking water.
Can you believe that? People thought there was a connection.
I totally believe it.
Did any of you guys watch the Netflix Coronavirus Explained?
You had, but repeat that, James? I didn't hear that.
Yeah, I missed it too. What was it, James?
I said, did anybody bother watching that Coronavirus Explained on Netflix?
No, I've never even heard of it, but I don't have a whole lot of time to watch TV.
Yeah, he does. He just doesn't.
They put something up that was like Coronavirus Explained, and it was just, it's terrible. It's got the worst narrator, for one, and it doesn't tell you shit. It just kind of tells you what the virus actually is, which, I mean, at this point, we should all know by now. Huh. But it's one of those mutated viruses that's going around.
Chinese bat lab.
Hoping that they would come up with a reason for why they used the name, and they didn't. Which I think using a name like Corona is pretty bad for the business on one end. As John just said, the Corona beer is not getting any good notoriety at this point.
Yeah, well, it is not the first coronavirus, because the flu is definitely is technically a coronavirus.
Well, and in SARS.
It's an avian.
Yeah, SARS is a coronavirus.
It's an avian flu. So, hence the Corona name that's linked with avian. And that's where that came up, where they came up with that name.
Yeah,
and,
but.
And there's many mutations of it.
I mean, they just should have. I think they should have just done like what they do with the hurricanes. Pick some woman's name and throw it out there.
Put a random. They have a random list. Every year they keep changing names.
So here, so the coronavirus derived their name from the fact that under an electron microscope examination, each virion is surrounded by a corona or a halo. So thank God they didn't name it Halo. Microsoft would have sued. There's something
they could have used Angel. The Angel virus.
Well, but it's technically COVID-19.
It's going to make you go see angels.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, but nobody uses that.
Jeez.
See, I can't tell if I'm getting the delay on responses to shit I say, or you guys are just doing random laughs.
We just didn't think you're funny.
We're humoring you, James. That's really what it is.
Well, I wasn't saying you guys weren't. I'm just saying I just randomly hear laughs every so often when I'm trying to talk.
Oh.
It's the delay.
Like John,
it's killing
just keeps
us.
On hitting the can laughter.
Yeah, it's
so I watched a video of William Shatner talking, and for like 20, 30 years I've always heard how William Shatner and George Takei didn't get along, and how George Takei always said that William Shatner was an asshole, yada yada. So I finally heard after like for 30 years, heard why he thinks that. So Shatner basically said, his comment on this interview was, I was an actor. I went to work. I knew my lines. I went home. And since he was the lead role, he said I was incredibly busy. So it wasn't the fact that I did, you know, that he was a coworker. Of course I didn't know him. He said, I've been working with him for 60 years, and I still don't know him because he's a coworker. And if you listen to interviews with George Takei, he's like, I've worked with him for 60 years. It's if he doesn't know me. And it was like, so I've heard that Shatner was a little bit of a pain in the ass to work with, but at least it makes sense that Shatner was a job. He's not there to get along. He's not there to make friends. He was there to collect a paycheck in the 60s.
Very typical for stars to have kind of an attitude. I'm better than you are. I'm the star of the show. So the hell with the rest of the cast, you know. So it's not unusual.
Especially when
I've had a few jobs where.
I was going to say, especially when he, Takei was truly a supporting actor, because you had Leonard Nimoy and DeForest Kelly were really the number two and three on the show.
Right.
So George Takei and everybody else were really just supporting their background characters for Phil and stories. It's really what they were. So I could totally see.
Yeah, but I was going to say, I've had a few jobs where I don't want to talk to people or be around them much. I just go do my job and I want to go home.
You're not that
friendly.
I don't
want to really be there.
Yeah. I have to agree. I've had the same thing. I don't really care.
Oh, wow.
How are you supposed to care about, you know, and especially if you work for a big company, you know, you don't know we all work at XYZ company, but doesn't mean I know you, or doesn't mean that, you know, you're a friend, right?
I mean,
this is one of the things I've always thought was interesting, difference between some of my lady friends and guy friends, is almost every woman I've ever known say, oh, I've got work friends. 99% of the guys I know say, I got coworkers. They're work friends. And I always thought that was an interesting difference, is because it's true. I have very few times of anybody I've ever worked with ever became an actual friend. They're work friends. They're people you spend a ton of time around. So you in the context of work, you're friends. But outside of work, you would probably not like each other.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's definitely something to be said of hey, diplomacy, getting along with the folks that you do work with. Doesn't mean that you go and have beers after work. You know, there's a definite distinction between coworkers and this is a friend from work. You know, hey, I happen to know this guy from work. Me and him are friends. But yeah, you're not required to like the people you work with.
Well,
you know, I don't even like my knowing my neighbors. I purposely try to avoid my neighbors so I don't get involved in their fucking lives.
That's why we get along, because I truly believe in better fences make better neighbors.
This explains why I don't explains why I don't really get along with my neighbors.
I'm here if you need a hand moving a couch. You know, but like, I don't want to find out your politics on something if I don't know you and I don't like you.
By the way,
James and Charney and I have known each other so long that we've gotten into those conversations, and I'm fine with disagreeing with people that I know and that I love. But you don't need to know that about everybody,
right?
You know, I don't have the time in my mid-30s to vet new friendships like that.
So, have you guys ever heard of the movie?
I was going to say though.
We're not changing topics yet.
I was going to say that, you know, I could understand people becoming friends when they're on like an oil field rig or up in Alaska where, you know, you're doing fishing and shit like that, going out and having beers with your coworkers, I guess. But that's because you're so basically isolated with these assholes, so you got to get along with them at some point.
But there's also
that's the only time that I would ever see something where you go out and have a beer with a bunch of people that you work with.
So that's the difference between
coworkers. You go through something like that with somebody, you never want to see that person again.
Yeah, okay. It happens.
So, old guy.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
I'm playing street cop here.
Yeah. No, I agree totally. And also it depends on your positions too, because if you're in a supervisor role, these people below you, you can't really be friends with because you're your supervisor.
Horrible idea.
Yeah, it just doesn't.
I've
been a lot of bad experiences.
I would also say there's a difference between like being an oil field worker or being one of these guys who works on fishing boats. There's also an element of trust needed because it's a safety thing. You got to hope the dude behind your back, you know, is basically going to save you if something happens. Same way in the military, because being a soldier is a job. It's not, you know, type of thing.
Oh,
so,
trust me, they don't necessarily get along with each other.
Well, no, I know, but it's like the greatest example of that is Jamie Heidemann and Adam Savage.
Yeah,
they've both said they don't like each other. They've never had in the 30 plus years they've known each other. They've never actually had dinner by themselves. They said they both drive each other absolutely batshit crazy, but in that madness, to say they work together really well. But he said, no, they said they don't like each other. Said in real life, they're not even close to being friends at all.
Well, Jamie was the reason that Adam was on the show.
Yes. Oh. But Jamie, an interview on that, Jamie realized that he didn't have the personality to carry the show.
Right.
So it was the true, Janie Heidemann was a straight man.
Yeah, he was a businessman and realized that he needs somebody crazy like Adam Savage to make the show work. So, and that's how it worked out.
So have you guys ever heard
of Jamie?
So I like Adam.
Oh, yeah.
I
like them both, actually.
So have you guys heard of the movie The Barbarians, right? The Twin Sitters, or Double Trouble?
No.
So you've never heard of the guys?
I have.
You've heard of the guys? They called them the Barbarian Brothers.
Yeah, I've heard of the Barbarian Brothers.
So they were these massive individuals. So David Paul, one of the brothers, recently died. The first time I saw him was in Double Trouble, but there these bodybuilders used to go to Gold's Gym all the time, the famous one in Venice, and he just recently died. I don't remember what he died of, but it's kind of a cult movie. So have you ever seen The Barbarians?
Yeah, I have seen The Barbarians.
Double Trouble. They said, according to this, he said he was the Hunt Brothers in Natural Born Killers.
Sounds familiar, but I can't say I know it.
So here's the list, like top of the thing. It says, Twin Sitters, Natural Born Killers is the Hunt Brothers. Double Trouble is David Jade. Ghost Rider is Marco. Think Big, etc. He was a B actor, but he was one of these guys that, you know, once you saw him, it's like, oh man. So I recently heard he passed away. I was really bummed at that.
Well, it's nice of you to be bummed about a complete stranger.
Yeah. Well, I mean, because if he's an actor you like, you know, or like he was just, you know, like one of the trauma actors, if you actually realized who one of them was, you'd be sad if the directors of Guardians of the Galaxy died.
They died. I'm so sorry.
I'm a rat. Yeah,
okay, I've seen Double Trouble, but that's it.
Well, that's my problem with, you know, the whole idea of people putting movie actors into starring, you know, things, and then they're better than everybody else. And, oh, boy, it's a, you know, famous actor, and they aren't shit. They're just people working a job, getting the paycheck. And I have a whole problem of glorifying actors and athletes as being the role models for the world.
You have a story about meeting Richard Dean Anderson.
Yes, I do have a story about Richard D. Anderson.
Years later, working at a big box store, there was a guy who worked there. He was an older gentleman. Said a good friend of him lived in L.A. and like 5-10 years ago ran into Richard Dean Anderson. And he said, his comment was, his friend said, Richard Dean Anderson is the biggest dick alive. I said, yeah, my dad met him at one point, and my dad's comment was, he's his biggest fan. And he's like, that's kind of exactly what my friend said.
Yeah, that's exactly right. He loved himself an awful lot.
Huh.
Yeah, he was.
You know, I'm generally,
you know, but I think if you get into that type of business, you have to.
I think it's like wrestling. You have to be a little bit of a dick to be in the industry, but I think you could love yourself less.
You know what? I met living in LA, growing up in Santa Monica, having businesses there and in Encino as well, getting to know people from Michael Jackson to Daryl Dragon to, I mean, I can name dozens of people that I got to know as actors. And I got to tell you, the vast majority of them are very nice, very humble, and realize that fame is fleeting. Because you have a hit show, you have a hit show today, doesn't mean you're going to have a hit show tomorrow.
So. Right. Yeah. And I'm generally, I get what you mean by the actors. Venerating the actors and all that is kind of weird. Sports people, I get a bit more only because, you know, somebody's doing something to the height of human achievement, essentially. You know, actors, it's all very subjective, but, you know, a 4.440 is fucking fast. You know, like, these people are doing something amazing. And I don't get into the whole tribalism of the whole thing that you live and die because you're from the town where the team represents, even though nobody from that team is from that town. But just, okay, here's somebody doing something to the height that a person can do something. You know, and if they are nice and respectful in real life, and they understand that, you know, they are representing, you know, and influencing youth and things like that, or youth, then, and they come across with that sort of humble nature, I respect the shit out of it. When they get all kind of high and mighty that it bugs me.
I have more respect for Jerry Rice than I do for Pamela Anderson that got famous for spreading her legs. Because let's be honest. Taking your clothes off is really easy compared to being one of the best receivers in the history of the NFL.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I think she had quite the skill.
Ask Tommy Lee. I mean, she was able to swallow the whole thing.
I don't even want to go.
So,
there.
Did you get to meet Tennille?
I did.
That's cool.
Oh yeah.
I didn't know you.
Tony Tennille was actually a sweetheart.
I've heard that.
She very, very, very nice.
That's really cool. I didn't realize you got to meet the captain and Tennille.
Yep, sure did.
Where were you? Where were you when? What were you doing meeting all these people?
So I had a business in Encino. And yeah, it's a way back machine, and I'm not going to get into names or details of what it was, but I owned a business in which I got an opportunity to meet a lot of the rich and wealthy people of Encino, very many of them.
So you were a fixer.
I could have been. I won't say anything.
Plastic surgeon, whatever.
Yeah. Think.
I'm just going to go with this fantasy in my mind that you were a fixer and that's it.
That'll work.
Think like Rob Hartford's dresser, you know, the guy that got him all the leather outfits.
I'm thinking Winston Wolfe and Ray Donovan.
There you go. I'll take Ray Donovan any day. That'd be good. Anyway, yeah, I did. I was very fortunate. I mean, I got
But it was interesting, though, when it came to Richard Dean Anderson, that multiple people over the years, and then, like, on the internet, I've read a lot of things over the years that said the only person who likes Richard Dean Anderson is himself and his agent.
You know,
But you can't really blame him for the 80s, though. He got ridiculously big. I mean, not Hulk Hogan big. But he got out there. Like, the only reason I say that is because Hulk Hogan literally couldn't go anywhere because the dude's the size of the house and he's juiced to the gills. Richard Dean Anderson could have put a hat on and nobody would have known who he was.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
You know, because Hulk Hogan at the time.
Anonymity, being able to put on a hat and nobody knows you've got that's worth the weight in gold.
I got to be honest, though, I always kind of wondered for... Like for starlets, if it's easier being a woman in some ways, because, you know, everybody sees all these starlets when they have makeup on. I wonder if it's easier for some of these ladies just to put on a hat and, you know, kind of look frumpy and no makeup for if people will notice who they are versus say, like Chris Evans.
The problem is we have TMZ.
That's true. That doesn't help.
So that takes care of that problem.
Well, just get like Helen Hunt and don't live there.
Hemsworth, yeah, that's true. Skinny without all that makeup, too.
Yeah. I don't know.
That's true. I mean,
Papa Rossi today are completely out.
I always liked Helen Hunt.
Oh, yeah.
I wish she did acting more.
Helen Hunt. Well, so NCIS Los Angeles, the rumors, of course, is that she's going to be leaving the show because of health reasons. And she was in a car accident last year that kept her off the show for quite a while. But she's getting up there. You know, there's a time for everything.
I mean, so she was born in 63. So. Huh. I just, one of my...
Oh, we're looking at different Hunts.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess she is.
I'm thinking of Linda Hunt.
Oh.
Helen Hunt.
Yeah. Helen Hunt.
Yeah. Helen Hunt was in Mad About You. And
I was wondering, I was sitting there and I'm like...
No, two different Hunts. Yeah, sorry about that.
When you said, Las Vegas and CSI?
NCIS Los Angeles.
NCIS that you said she was on? Yeah,
Linda Hunt was made, she was made in 1945. Actually know her from the 90s teen movie If Looks Could Kill.
Yeah.
She plays the bad guy.
Oh, yeah.
The lady with that necklace whip. Yeah, she's 70. That movie. Actually, acting for 70 at 75 years old, that's definitely getting up there for being as much work as acting in a TV show is.
Yeah, in a series, absolutely. You know, that can be a grind. I mean, it is very impressive when you look at the schedules that these guys have to work.
I gotta say though, I mean, the schedules for series now versus series, oh gosh, I gotta actually go way farther back. 30 years ago, I was gonna go with 20 years ago, but 30 years ago is way different. I mean, if you look at how many episodes of, let's say, MASH were put out versus what is put out now.
Yeah. Right.
Way, way different.
And, well, you know, it seems
you only get what, maybe 12 to 24 episodes a year?
Oh, yeah. I mean, so 13 seems to be the average number now for us, and it's like, give me a break. Drives
every
me crazy.
So often you'll get one with 20.
Yeah.
Well, if you go back, if you want to
That 22.
They do that for the reason that they don't want to put anything in syndication because then everybody's getting residuals for fucking ever. They want to keep all that money. Keep it under 100 episodes.
If you want to set the Wayback Machines to 1955, the Highway Patrol TV show, I think each season was around 33 episodes.
I believe it. I mean, these guys used to work their asses
off. But back in the day, the actors were a lot of them were studio actors, and they got paid crap.
Right.
So.
No, man. Yeah, those cats own my studio. I mean, everybody kind of hears all these people making millions of dollars and whatnot. Generally, that millions of dollars might have to last them for quite some time.
Yep.
And there's only, 10 people that make that kind of money, you know?
Right.
But these guys, the rest of these actors are grinding, man.
Oh, by the way,
and it's not easy work despite the
it's not,
you know, the easy thing to think of.
I can't imagine.
Like they always joke about, it's not digging ditches, but fuck, man, it's pretty difficult.
No, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of waiting around. It's a lot of material to remember. Can you imagine being handed the script? Okay, remember these 10 pages of lines that you have to do every day.
Right.
Do you want to know who has it worse right now? So this is going to, hold on. This is going to sound weird, but I've heard multiple interviews with this. Wrestlers in the WWE are usually handed, say, like 3 or 4 pages of like a script, and they get handed them 10 minutes before they go out. They have to say it line for line.
Well, that's probably why their lines aren't actually very good.
Well,
because they can't really remember that well, much see, on, 10 on, minutes.
Well, on wrestling, no.
Hey,
so,
the Rock had some amazing lines.
So they so. And the sidebar, one of the reasons they say I think wrestling's not as good is because back in the day, like 70s and 80s, they had bullet points, but everything was the top of their head. A lot of wrestling back in the day was just playing off of people, of being really quick on the spot, which back in the day, like the Honeymooners and all stuff like that, that's a lot of stuff they did was there was scripts, but you had, I think you had a little bit more room to kind of play around.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, there's a lot going on. The same thing with a TV show is everyone's got to hit their mark because, hey, man, we got pyrotechnics. We got special effects. I got to blow this car up on cue with what you're going to say.
Yep.
Nowadays with professional wrestling, it's the same thing. Hey, man, I got pyrotechnics here, and I'm waiting for this word as the cue.
Right.
You know, so you got to hit this right. Right up there with that, if not more, is the soap opera guy.
Oh, you know?
People don't know soap operas are filmed every single day, and they air every single day.
Yep.
You cannot make mistakes in soap opera.
No.
You know, they're horrible, but these people are putting in work.
They get a new script every evening.
But thankfully,
and it's like learn it by
have this by tomorrow.
Yeah. But have it by 4 a.m. tomorrow.
Thankfully for them though, if you've been on the show for 5 years, the only thing they have to change is the name of the character. Because the
But we're just talking about the difficulty of working.
I know.
You know.
But it's old soap opera joke. But it's true. I mean, wrestling's been weird lately because they've been doing a lot of empty arena stuff. And I was a big fan of wrestling, but not having a crowd, it's the worst thing ever. However,
I can't even imagine. Like, do you still watch wrestling, or did you just kind of turn it on because that was the thing going on?
Right now or back in the day?
Right now.
I watch bits and pieces. I stay up to date on it because I love the medium of the storytelling of wrestling. But right now it's so bad because there's scripts and they're not basically wrestling. So wrestling back in the day was so good because it was close to real life. They would do things that logically made sense most of the time. And nowadays it's so ridiculous.
Like Crime Time.
Yeah. I mean, but if you take a look at, like, say, the Rock and Roll Express versus the Midnight Express, if you take a look at Dusty Rhodes versus Road Warriors, all these interactions had stories that were at least were plausibly believable versus nowadays, everybody, all the wrestlers are these toned and super fit people who are, look like supermodels versus if you looked at Dusty Rhodes, the dude at the height of his career had to be 300 pounds. So nowadays it's just not realistic and the writing is ridiculous and the moves are, it's just not as fun to watch because if you listen, you can actually hear him call it in the ring. You can actually hear him say tackle, drop down, hip toss.
So I think you bring up a good point, something maybe to talk about, is these sports that are going on without people in the arenas.
Oh, that reminds me.
Yeah.
Weird. I want to see UFC, though. UFC would be badass without having the crowd noise.
Did you hear what Dana White was trying to do a week or two ago?
Battle Island?
He was trying to buy an island to have UFC fight. Now, if he hadn't sold the company ESPN, I think he sold it to, now he's under, the Disney umbrella. They just pulled the plug on it and said, nope, you're not doing this. This guy was going to buy an island. That would have been amazing.
Dude, it's one.
Yeah, I'm down to see that without the fanfare. Like, just two guys in a ring, two men in or one man lead,
It's one step away from James's favorite Japanese.
Like they used to do way back when UFC won?
UFC 1, people were trying to do that shit just because they wanted to see the boxer fight the karate guy.
Well, Joe Rogan.
The sumo guy.
Well, Joe Rogan actually talked about the first couple of UFCs. He said the issue is nobody was really sure how styles would clash. So he said
he
said it was the karate guy and everybody wanted to see how he did versus like the kung fu guy. And he said what really happened He said, what happened now is everybody know what actually works. And And so nowadays you have people who are specializing on different parts. Like you have a guy who's really good at fighting on the ground, but not good standing up. He said, so that right now is what you have is people who are trying to get the perfect balance of things. So
Well, if you watch the old UFC ones, the original ones where it's like UFC 1, 2, and 3, and you see Gracie fighting, those were the most boring matches because they didn't have time limits. So you were literally sitting there with your VHS because DVD wasn't around, sitting there fast forward for like an hour and a half where he's got a freaking sumo guy wrapped up in a cradle waiting for the bastard to tap out.
Being hit.
So that's how some of those fights went back then, is because – yeah.
To be fair, the first three UFCs when Gracie dominated was it was a lot shorter because nobody knew how to defend against it. So he'd wear somebody down in a couple of minutes.
But he'd be pissing.
That one guy came into the ring with one boxing glove on. That was hilarious.
The only problem with the early Gracie matches is if you watch him, it's like he's he'd had to urinate blood after it because how many times people had hit him in the kidneys. I mean, that was.
That's brutal, dude.
That's one of the reasons I kind of like the UFC now is at least you have, you know, there's rules and the referees know, okay, stop. Now, the only issue I have is I've watched a couple of fights where you could see the guys were starting to actually play on the ground and starting to cinch it in, but because it was too boring, like it just started being boring, the referee said, okay, break, when they were just getting into, the guy was just starting to cinch it in. I've seen a couple of fights.
That's part of getting better at the game and the jiu-jitsu in the ground game has gotten better because of those limitations, you know, and it is an art, and to me, art does live in its limitations. You got to put rules on something in order to, you know, you put in a room with a thousand instruments and I say write a song, you wouldn't even pick an instrument in a day and a half. You know, I get you a triangle and a piano, you'd come up with something by the end of the day.
Maybe the old guy, not me. The old guy was an actual musician. I slept in a Holiday Inn last night. That's about as good as a musician as I am.
What do you play, rep?
Oh, I had the opportunity to. My main instrument was the bass trombone, and so I could play most brass instruments. Saxophone, also played woodwind instruments.
I'm a sucker for a horn section, man. I love that stuff.
Well,
there's a list of things I never thought in my life I'd ever hear. Man, I love those horns. Oh,
it's, dude, well, are you kidding
tell
me?
You what?
Yeah, I got a list of jokes to go
like
with
horns.
It.
Suck.
Oh, you see those French horns?
We're not talking about marching bands, you know. We're like jazz. I mean, I guess people don't like jazz, but
I don't know. It just out of this post-apocalyptic nightmare that we're currently living. Oh, by the way, I was going to say, if you listen to news, I swear I'm getting closer to my prediction being correct that we're just on the opening introduction of an 80s post-apocalyptic movie. We're starting to get the economy going down. We have more viruses being detected. All we need is there's one other piece missing. And I think that what they said, the North Korean guy is allegedly dead.
Talk about taking over the corporate wars?
And his body doubles in the media and the corporate wars. So Taco Bell soon is going to be the only restaurant.
Hey, you know what the big one is? We've got the meat shortage coming. They're saying, you can't get hamburgers. Wendy's announced that they're no longer having hamburgers. If you want a hamburger, it has to be a veggie burger. Yeah. Yeah.
So the question, who's going to be the first person to start chewing on the beef jerky that's in our Congress?
I'm waiting to go to sleep one night, and my dream just says 3 years later, and I wake up with a beard.
Yeah.
Nobody's on the street, you know, zombies.
And Bill Clinton's daughter is now president.
Oh, my God.
No, yeah. Ryan, you're going to wake up, and it's Idiocracy.
Right. Harry Cruz is president.
We're already there, folks.
There's got to be a sign. There's going to be a sign on the door as soon as you leave that says James was right.
Yeah.
Yep.
You
know, there is one benefit to all of this. I've always wanted to write the word nigh on a sandwich board. So nice. I think I might get that opportunity soon.
Yeah, you might.
I am starting to think, though, that I'm either in a post-apocalyptic movie, or I've just been really living in a Monty Python sketch for like the last 20 years. I recently saw something on Twitter that it's either real or it's just bizarre. So it's called the gender sleep gap. I haven't looked more into it because I think it's hilarious. So this is the headline of the article. So the gender sleep gap, wake me up when the nightmare of modern feminism is over. I have no idea if this is true, but later down in the article, let's see if I can find it. It says, how much sleep you lose to a man's unconscious sense of entitlement.
That's got to be an Onion article.
No, it's
yeah, that's
it's,
what I was thinking.
It's RT.com. It's not a website I'm familiar with, but somebody I'm hoping it's fake.
Wait, RT, isn't that for Russian people?
You're asking the wrong person, but it's hilarious nonetheless.
Well, if you're going to quote them, figure out who the hell they are.
This is hilarious. Yeah. Why would I quote it? This is the funniest thing I've read in a long time.
Ryan, I think it's an Onion article.
No, it's not. This week, journalist Helen Coffey wrote on The Independent that men were now manspreading while running.
Manspreading.
So basically, you know.
I like the name, Helen Coffey. Is that really her name? I'm just going to pick a name. So pick one first name, you know, it's a real name, and then the last name is a food.
Well, she couldn't pick Marilyn Manson. That was taken. And in the middle of the article, it says in the middle of the night when my significant other is sleeping, I slap him or something like that. It's just hilarious because at this point in time, it's hard to tell the real news from the fake news.
Well, I'm going to have to agree with you on that because I don't seem to care what news, so-called news source you hear. Can't figure out what the hell's truth or a lie anymore.
So Helen Coffey.
Yeah, man, I have been having that trouble for a while. Ugh. How the hell do you find reliable sources?
I don't think there is such a thing. We're going to just walk right over John.
Well, so Helen Coffey, Coffey, is from the independent.co.uk. So she's UK.
So she's, well, God, UK is, you know, oh yeah.
Other than
BBC,
out
of the UK, anything other than BBC. Yeah, I don't believe anything. Yeah. They have the star
the
over there.
UK might as well be, you know, whatever, you know, what is it? What's the one I'm thinking of? What's that bullshit? BuzzFeed. Might as well be BuzzFeed.
I like the BuzzFeed when they're drinking alcohol. So I just think it's funny. Like, there's one that says, "Man, this is why you need to stop man spreading when you run." And I understand the reason why she's saying it, but it's such a ridiculous time in life.
What the fuck is man spreading?
So basically, you know, when guys sit down, we're not, you know, women sit down, generally they cross their legs, they make them some smaller. Guys have a tendency to spread out a little bit.
That's because we wear things called pants.
So man spreading is when a guy spreads.
Kilt's a different deal.
Man spreading is basically when a guy spreads his legs sitting down and doesn't make room for other people. When I was a kid, that was called just being a dick when you weren't making room for people.
Yeah, basically.
So that's
what I was kind of thinking, but I mean, so they came up with a name for it?
Everything has a name at this point. You kidding? That's why I think this is funny.
Everything is associated with the entire gender. You know, that's the thing that irritates me is like the actions of a few assholes somehow get representative of all of us, you know? And I'm like, I wasn't raised like this. Who are these fucking people?
This is if you can laugh at Schadenfreude, today's society is just perfect because I'm finding more and more of everyday life, especially on social media, hilarious. I don't care what you believe. The idea of men are man spreading somehow when they're running is hilarious. I mean, you're running. Just, I don't know, move a little faster, run a different direction. It just makes me laugh.
All right, well.
Well, come on.
Do we know anybody who's a good script writer that could? Good. I have come up with a great idea. You know that everybody knows about NCIS, right? But nobody ever heard of NCIS until the very first show. Nobody knew what naval security, you know, that they had their own system. Well, I was watching the news the other day, and I discovered that there is a law enforcement entity called Homeland Security Investigations. And I think that's a great opportunity to write a TV show, a TV script. If we can put a script together, get that copyrighted, I bet we could get Homeland Security Investigations Los Angeles. Homeland Security Investigations LA.
Procedural. You could run that for 20 years.
Yeah, I bet we could. Couldn't we come up with something? I came up with this idea and I'm going, but I couldn't write a script.
Only if you can get Damien.
Just going to be a ripoff of 24.
Right now, this could be done.
Only if we can get Damien Lewis to be the head guy.
No, he's already associated with Homeland.
That's why I would want him.
No.
I think it'd be great.
You're changing. You know, it's all about the marketing on this one, man.
Yeah. Yeah, there's some great opportunities, I think, that they come up with something. Now we're going to put this on the air, and somebody's going to steal it from me. But
yeah, I know. We've just ruined it.
We just ruined the damn thing. But I couldn't believe it. I started thinking, going, hey, that could make a great show. I mean, look how long
David Wolf's already been around.
What's that?
how long's it been around for?
I was asking, how long has this been around? I mean, I haven't heard Homeland
Security Investigations. I have no idea. Years?
Probably since Homeland Security was around under Bush.
They were probably started slightly after it, and I'm trying to figure out exactly what it is Homeland Security Investigations does. It was in regards to, it was an investigation that Homeland Security apparently had confiscated a shipment that came in through the, and they were going through an investigation of the shipment and where it came from and trying to follow it back, and it wasn't Russian related or China related or whatever. And so, I mean, there's all kinds of opportunities for some great scripts that, you know, you could write up. Hey, we got to investigate, you know, there was a shipment confiscated of, you know, cigarettes. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, think about the FOIA record. You can probably pull up. They've been around for a while. I mean, you could just write the scripts based off of the declassified material.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So that's the whole thing. You would have to get into somebody there, their press part people, because they must have something in there, and saying, "Hey, can I shadow a team for a while, right? Shadow them for a while and figure out what it is they do, and off you go."
Yeah, learn the nomenclature a little bit, throw some lingo in there. People love jargon.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
How about a comedy, a dramedy about like the Secret Service? Because you got like the Biden who has Secret Service. I think it'd be hilarious.
You know,
you want to do Biden's Secret Service?
Well, I mean, you could do anybody. You could do Biden. You could do Clinton. You could do Ronald Reagan.
What was Biden's name while he was vice president for the Secret Service? Anybody know?
Oh, I don't remember.
Uncle Joe.
Oh, I love the nickname they come up.
Yeah,
with.
Yeah, they come up with some great ones actually, and I never heard what his name was.
No, I haven't either.
They don't keep those particularly for life, right? Because they come out with them eventually, like, oh, we call them this, then this.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think they cycle through them.
Hold on. I just found a Wikipedia article. Yeah. Let's see if, so is it 2016? So this is, okay. So according to this, Mitt Romney's was Javelin. Ann Romney was Jockey. Rick Santorum was Petrus. Newt Gingrich was T-Rex.
Well, that's a good one. T-Rex would be a good one.
Let's see. Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton was Evergreen. That's hilarious.
Oh, jeez.
Bernie Sanders was Intrepid.
What?
Where is...
All right.
Intrepid, the decommissioned ship.
He's old enough to be deconditioned. I mean, that's
beyond commission. I was thinking it was a USS Intrepid.
Oh,
deconditioned.
So Sarah Palin was Denali. Todd Palin was Driller.
Driller, great name.
Oh, right. If that's
hopefully we can find Biden's there.
That's a double entendre there.
Yeah, be interesting to see what his was.
Let's see if I'm having.
You can't seem to find it. I'm not gonna look it up. I was just
staff.
Curious.
I see staff and cabinet. It's gotta be here.
It might not be released yet.
But his name is when he was actual vice president. I'm sure that's out there.
Let's see. Best Truman was Sunnyside.
Best Truman?
Yeah.
Did you ever see that woman?
No.
John, somebody was playing around with a name on that one.
John F. Kennedy was Lark.
Yeah, I had heard that.
Lady Bird Johnson was Victoria. This is hilarious. This makes exciting radio, but this is... Oh, Richard Nixon was searchlighting, which eventually got him in trouble, was using a searchlight.
Sure. Searchlighting?
Jimmy Carter was Lockmaster. That should have been Nixon's.
Lockmaster. Yeah, you're right. It should have been G. Gordon Liddy's. That would have been G. Gordon Liddy's Lockmaster.
Ronald Reagan's was Rawhide. I don't see that, but that's...
Ronald Reagan would be Rawhide.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, that's a little too on the nose. I think people would have figured it out.
Sasha Obama's was Rosebud. Obama's was Renegade. I'm sorry. This is hilarious.
Well, our new vice president's going to be Michelle. Heard that, right?
Really? Is that...
I don't know. The latest, maybe it's another onion story, but the latest is Michelle's going to be...
But I thought he wanted a woman for vice president.
Oh. Joe Biden.
You're welcome, James.
Uh-oh.
Like 10 minutes to figure this shit out.
You there,
took
James?
Me 2 minutes on Google.
Oh.
Yeah. So what was Biden's...
I'm wondering why it took him so long.
Did you find Biden's?
Yeah, Celtic.
Celtic?
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Mike Pence is hoser.
Mike Pence is hoser?
That's funny.
That's what it says. His wife is hummingbird.
Wow, that's weird.
That's, yeah, oh, I see it now. Yeah, Jill Biden's was Capri. It was Capri. That's hilarious.
Biden's was Capri?
Jill Biden's, yeah.
Jill Biden's, okay.
I think that's hilarious. I didn't realize they gave him, Dick Cheney was apparently backseat.
Backseat?
I didn't realize they had nicknames, but that actually makes sense that they had code names.
They all have code names. Yeah. Pretty funny.
That's great.
Donald Trump is Mogul.
Donald, yes, that's right. I had heard that.
That makes sense. You know what I'm looking
for? He probably picked it himself.
He fucking chose that. Yeah. There's no way he didn't.
No, I'm sure he did. He probably told them, that's what you're going to call me.
You know what?
Yeah, I'm for sure.
Because the king has already been taken.
Yep.
You know what I'm waiting for?
Did you call me your majesty? Is that taken?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm waiting for 10 years from now, after Donald Trump is, his presidency is long and buried, and possibly him, is, I can't wait to see what ends up coming out about his presidency. Because I would be curious to see if he was, if he's as good as president as he says he is, or if he's bad as a president as the media says he is. Because I'm super curious to see where it actually is on the list of things.
All I know is that I have never wanted to go to a presidential library in my life. I will go to that guy.
I have a feeling
that because will it'll be have amazing.
Yes, it'll have gold. Gold faucets and sinks in the bathroom.
And stripper poles.
It has to be the most gaudy thing of all time.
Absolutely.
It's just such the most, hey, look at how amazing I am.
And
it'd be worth it no matter what your angle is for going.
Yep.
And I guarantee he's going to have a book in there that he wrote that's called My Struggle.
Yeah.
Doesn't he have one out already called You're Fired?
Was it The Art of Making a Deal?
But he does.
Yeah. Does he really?
Probably.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting the My Struggle thing to get such a pop out of Ryan. That was hilarious.
Well, I mean, because somebody would bring up to him the Hitler reference, and he'd be like, no, I came up with that shit first or something. I don't know what he would say, but he would let it glance off his back.
No, he would be like, I didn't come up with that. Hitler was a bad dude. I really didn't like Hitler. And he would say it four
or five.
Yeah,
exactly. Something like that.
By the way,
for those of you who don't know, Mein Kampf in German is My Struggle.
Exactly. Right. I want to learn.
My Struggle, yeah.
I
yeah.
really want to yeah. learn Trump's speaking style just because it,
I know, right?
It's like, I want
to. I'll kill you.
Next time I get dragged in front of. Next time I get dragged in front of some sort of like law enforcement or judge, I'll just do that. You know, it's like, okay, Mr. Charlie.
Well, just tell him we're going to do wonderful things. It's going to be magical. It's going to be great. It's going to be outstanding. We are so good at it.
Yeah, no one's going to ever do these things the way that I'm going to do them.
That's right.
By the way, if anybody in the Trump's presidency is listening, can you do me a favor? Turn the fucking page on the thesaurus already. Would you really? It's because, like, if you're going to pick adjectives and flowery words, get different ones.
I mean, at least switch it up, man.
Well, you know what I want to say? He's got a new press secretary now. Is he going to actually let a press secretary hold a press conference?
Never mind
because
that.
Because the last one held one.
Never mind that. Let this new lady use his fucking Twitter account.
She'll be, don't get me started with him and his Twitter
account.
So
here's actually something that I'm for. I never thought I would be for this ever, but I think we should pass a law that if you're a public servant and you have a Twitter account, you can't fucking use it.
We certainly should do it for...
Agreed.
Yeah. I can't... You know, the Secret Service tried multiple times to stop him, and he just won't do it.
Well, because he's
man, imagine how on their toes they are. I mean, really, like I think that is a whetstone that has sharpened the Secret Service better than any other president could have possibly imagined.
Yeah,
it's definitely
I mean, silver linings all over the place with them. Like, just like, you know what, we've gotten so many different protocols for shit we never thought we'd have to do.
And don't forget, the White House lawyer is probably better at being a lawyer than any other president in history, because how many fires he or she has to put out on a daily basis. Because
everyone is just pulling their A game, for sure.
He recently just said something about Joe Scarborough, about how, I guess, some woman was found dead in Joe Scarborough's hotel room back in the early 2000s, and turns out she just died. It wasn't anything suspicious. And he's saying, I think Xfinity should see what happened. Did he really kill this person?
Oh, Lord.
And it's like, I love Trump because he's the ultimate FU to the government, and nobody realizes it. We're living in the greatest time in American history, because we're living space balls. You couldn't write shit better than this.
Yeah, it is a bit behind
wait a minute.
People are starting to see play the inside baseball.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5?
Exactly.
This is the kind of password an idiot would have in his luggage.
If this was in 35mm and THX sound, you would sell millions of dollars worth of tickets to this movie. It's perfect. I mean, you have Skeletor, who's constantly fighting against him and always speaking against him. Then you have him retorting back in some sort of miraculous threes, because everything he says is in threes. It's like fucking summoning Beetlejuice.
You know what's messed up I just thought about? I can imagine, in earnest, Donald Trump saying very seriously, with no joke whatsoever, the words ludicrous speed.
He was going very fast. He was going at ludicrous speed. I can see it. I can totally
see. Yeah. And everyone laughed, and he's looking at everyone like, why are you laughing?
Yeah, he doesn't get his own joke.
You know, it would be perfect if the because, you know, say the news announcer's like, says something like, wow, he went plaid, and just left it at that. I mean, I this is why I've been saying, like, I my sense of humor has been improving, just because if you watch the shit that happens, you have to laugh, because this is a Mel Brooks movie. All I'm missing is the scenes where they're eating beans.
I guess. I just don't know.
Because Donald Trump is elected president, and the person he was running against was the worst candidate known to man. You couldn't have chosen a worse person. You could have chosen the one-armed man from the Harrison Ford movie. He would have won over Donald Trump. I mean, come on. This is ridiculous.
all right, yeah. I mean, we're not going to go back and at this, but I agree with you. They couldn't have run a worse person against Donald Trump.
You could have chosen...
Anybody else. Anybody else would have won.
You could have chosen a gay, transgendered, handicapped person, and they would have won against Trump.
Leave Caitlyn Jenner out of this.
She's not a minority. She's white. Now, however, if she was black, I'm just saying, you could have won anybody against...
I just heard John's phone going off, but I guess somebody heard me.
No, that was the old guys.
That's mine.
You could have, I mean...
Fox News announced something.
Oh, okay.
I just think you could have... I just think it's hilarious. This is why I think it's fun. You've got... you had Biden, who's known for sniffing hair. And then you had Bernie Sanders, who was so poor, he was burning TP rolls for heat in a mud cabin. It's just hilarious. I mean, you cannot write anything better than this. It's just, it's great.
I mean, you know what? I cannot believe at this day and age, we can't come up with good, qualified, dignified people to hold higher office anymore than the group we tend to get now. I just don't understand. Well, standard.
Because it's a popularity contest. You know, it's not about qualified anymore. It's about who can...
I would have voted for Kane.
What about his running mate, Abel?
I don't know. I'm just, you know...
They didn't get along very well.
So this,
I just don't get it.
This reminds me of something I learned in history class, since I wasn't there. The old guy was when it was Nixon versus John F. Kennedy.
Yeah.
And I heard, like...
was a child, all right?
You were still there.
I was there, but
you know,
was...
But so everything I've heard is, like, if you watch the TV show, everybody...
He only voted once.
Everybody always said that John F. Kennedy won. But if you listen to the radio, everybody said that Nixon won.
Well...
And so that I've always been told this was kind of the start of kind of this... popularity contest.
So what happened, if you really must know, what happened is Nixon was a sweater. He would sweat. His forehead would bead.
He would
sweat.
He would glisten.
And people caught on to that because the black and white TV back then is what you got, and it was reflecting the light, where JFK was not. And
he wore
was
makeup.
More presidential looking. And it was definitely the start of the glam part of voting for, hey, let's vote for the best-looking politician with JFK. And it was the debate has always been, did Nixon have a better way of dealing with the questions that were thrown out at him? And many people believe he did, and that's why the radio people were saying, hey, I thought Nixon did better. But people watching... Nixon looked terrible. He was constantly wiping his face. He was nervous, apparently. And
I wonder if he was more nervous versus just under those old school lights. It's 120 degrees.
That too.
Under like 1,000-watt incandescent bulbs.
Coronavirus quickly spread around the world starting late last year. A new genetic analysis. So I'm sorry, CNN just popped up with this supposedly new headline, which isn't really much of a new headline.
That's, yeah, to say this.
Like we just randomly switch topics.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Every now and then you think you're going to get some news, and you get some olds.
I don't know. I just think today, because there's so many horrible things happen today, I've been finding things funnier. American politics is hilarious just because everybody takes themselves so serious. Like Nancy Pelosi.
You know who the funniest looking person is? As bad as Nancy Pelosi is Adam Schiff.
Shifty Schiff.
If you look at this guy, you got to wonder how the hell he ever got elected.
Hold on. I'm going to have to look up Adam Schiff.
Oh my goodness. Just look him up and take a look at this guy. Besides the stuff that he says, which is just unbelievable.
He really does have a thin neck, but it's more like his head is small.
But his eyes, he's got like this big bug-eyed look. Hello? Every time he talks.
Hello? Adam Schiff looks like a thumb.
No, it's weird. He's very strange.
He's a lizard man. Like our
like a thumb.
He looks like a thumb. He does.
He's a Z-tan?
Exactly. Oh. What was that creatures Jeff used to joke about, the lizard people? God rest his soul. Z-tan is that it?
Z-tans.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
We live in such a wacky world. I always wonder if people listening to this are kind of wondering, hey, do they plan any of this out? Or are they just really this weird?
You think anybody really listens to this?
Yeah.
I know at least...
anybody that would think we're planning this?
Yeah.
I know
yeah.
at least one person who says they listen to this.
Oh, good for them.
Now, the question, they could be lying to
what
me.
What a sweetheart. Thanks, Liz. Hey, that's what I meant by sweetheart.
This is a shout out to the only fan. Matter of fact, if you're a fan of this show, of the Mad Trio podcast, do me a favor, drop us a line on Facebook and say, I love you guys, because it would make me feel better.
So how long has RFR been off the air?
Couple of years. You're welcome.
So you actually have more viewers for a show that's been off the air for a couple of years than you do for your current one that's running now. I love it. Yeah.
Well, just because, you know, we still got a lot of you suck, the fat guy's an asshole, you know, or not all Germans were Nazis.
It's okay. Oh. You know what they say, any press is good press. Doesn't matter what it is.
Yeah, I don't believe that now that who we have is president. my favorite one is, at least one of you guys hasn't seen the Three Kings movies, which, come on, isn't the Three Kings movie kind of obscure at this point?
Hell no, that was great 90s.
No, I've seen it.
Hey, by the way,
that was a good.
Out of the three of us,
Black Eye, Cuba Gooding Jr.
Out of the three of us, saying it's not obscure does not actually mean much considering the amount of obscure movies we've seen. I mean, let's be honest here.
Well, we saw obscure movies when everyone else was watching the same 15 movies. You know, like our problem now is that everybody watches obscure shit because there is no such thing as really mainstream except for Marvel movies.
No, they're watching it right now because there's nothing better to do. I'm
TV
hoping
right now, basically.
I'm really hoping there's going to be a resurgence of Tromo movies. I want the Class of Nukem 2020.
See, that's the thing, man, is that they're out. They're coming out right now. You just don't hear about it because you have to be, you know, subscribed to their network. You know, kind of deal. It's all that sort of stuff. It's all these super niche markets.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're definitely heading over time, and I think as soon as we start talking about the Class of Nukem High, it's probably start time to turn to.
I don't know. Might have to do an RFR reboot. Okay.
I don't know. Otherwise, you know, some people might
Why
be like this.
Pretty Bird there.
What's that? Way back.
No, that's supposed to be scary.
All right, best movie George Clooney ever was in.
Best movie George Clooney was never in?
Oh, no, was in.
You see that?
Best George Clooney movie. Mm-hmm. Only reason I thought about that is because Old Brother I happened to come across it again. It was playing, and I loved that movie. I don't know if you guys watched it.
Hell yeah. I watched it like twice a year.
I just love that movie, so I just saw it the other night again.
His best acting role was Batman.
Yeah, right. No, I think... Yeah. yeah, exactly.
I got
exactly.
Him.
No, I know random. It's just completely random stuff to close the show out, but it just came up to me because I got to tell you, I saw a movie again, and I just enjoyed the hell out of it.
It's a great movie. So, ladies and gentlemen, for the California Pariah, Jonathan Charney, James the Fat Man Stevens, Ryan Preston... And the old guy...
Hit my plug.
You're listening to The Rob Charney Show.
There you go.
And hold on while I plug the chair in. There's going to be a little bit of tingling. Ladies and gentlemen, as always, thank you for listening.